Words for Life today is by Reverend David Sterry of Beaumaris Mordialloc Baptist Church. The introductory Bible reading by David Suchet is 2 Corinthians 1, 8-11.
We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many.
Well, through these colder months of the year, it seems to me that probably more than any other time of the year, in the kitchen, slow cookers or pressure cookers come out of the cupboards and they take centre place. Now, I don't know about you, but I really enjoy a meal that's prepared in our slow cooker. And in case you're wondering, what is the difference between a slow cooker and a pressure cooker? Well, I didn't quite know the difference myself, so I Googled it. If you don't know something, you Google it. Now, I'm not going to indicate whether that's completely accurate or not. Typically it is, but the difference being this. Pressure cookers cook faster. Slow cookers, you guessed it, cook slower. Well, that's all the difference it seems between a pressure cooker and a slow cooker. But as we continue our series in 2 Corinthians, we come today to these verses that Marg read that describe Paul's experience in the pressure cooker of life. Paul, who wrote 2 Corinthians and indeed wrote much of the New Testament, Paul was the Apostle Paul. He was someone that had an incredible life transformation, and from being someone who vehemently opposed the gospel message to someone who passionately sought to bring the good news of Jesus into people's lives. And so he's someone from whom we can learn much about the pathway of finding and following Jesus. But Paul was also someone who spent much time in the pressure cooker of life and faith. He found himself in very different situations and indeed very difficult situations that even caused him to despair, as we have read about, as Mark read to us in the verses we're looking at today. And as we look at our own lives as well, at different times, all of us will experience pressure cooker moments in life or in faith. Times when the stresses of life and the challenges of faith in the world that we live in, and the reality is to be a follower of Jesus in the world that we live in is to go against the flow. To be a follower of Jesus in the culture that we're a part of is to go against the flow, and it now means to be a minority voice. And so to be a follower of Jesus is not a straightforward thing in the culture and in the world that we live in. And so that means that the stresses of life and the challenges of faith can become much more than we would want them to be. You may even be at a point, even now in your life or in your faith, where that is a reality for you, where you feel like you're in the pressure cooker of life or faith. But there is much to learn from Paul's experience about God's work, even and especially in the midst of the pressure cooker of life and faith. Yes, what is our natural tendency? Our natural tendency is to want to find a way out, to find an escape route from the pressure cooker of life and faith. But the pathway of discipleship for Paul, for the other first followers of Jesus, including those in the church at Corinth, and for you and I still, the pathway of discipleship does not have as its goal to have our problems taken away, does not have as its goal to have our pressure being taken away, or our pathway being made easier. That is not the ultimate goal when you read Scripture. But the ultimate goal is the pathway of discipleship, is the pathway, the process of God's work in us taking place, shaping and forming us to become more like Jesus. That is the ultimate goal of discipleship. The theological term for that is what's known as sanctification, the work of sanctification. But where does this work take place? It takes place not removed from, but right in the midst of the real pressure cooker of life and faith. So let's take a closer look at these verses that Marg read to us a few minutes ago. And out of those, let's today just ask a couple of significant questions. Let's begin by looking at what Paul says in verse 8, where he says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life itself." These are strong words that Paul is using. He doesn't just say about being under pressure, but he says about being under great pressure. He doesn't just say feeling beyond our ability to endure, but far beyond our ability to endure. He doesn't despair not just of what's happening, but he says we despaired of life itself. Incredibly strong words that Paul is using. And Paul doesn't specifically indicate to us what was happening here. What it was that in his experience was triggering this for him. But we don't know exactly what that was. There's speculation about what it could have been, but it's not specifically revealed to us. Remarkable words though, from someone who followed Jesus in remarkable ways. And that should encourage us. That should encourage all of us in the midst of the pressure cooker of life and faith. And here's Paul, this very significant person in God's purposes who wrote much of the New Testament. And he's in the midst of the pressure cooker of life and faith. And it really is very, very difficult for him. Clearly, whatever Paul's pressure cooker of life and faith involved, it was stretching him further, much further than he would have chosen. I want to ask you today, what's stretching you in your pressure cooker of life or faith? What's stretching you in your pressure cooker experience? What is or what has caused you to feel like this is too much? This is overwhelming. This is beyond my capacity to cope with. As much as we may find it difficult, and as much as we may even despair, just as Paul did, the process of growth in the pathway of discipleship in our lives takes place when? When we are stretched. Even when you might feel like you are stretched to or beyond your limit, as Paul clearly did here, God is faithful. And not only that, spiritual formation is taking place in your life, in and through those times, in a way that it can't at other times. Growth in faith and trust in God and being stretched in the pressure cooker of life go hand in hand in God's purposes. I'll say that again. Growth in faith and trust in God and being stretched in the pressure cooker of life and faith go hand in hand in God's purposes. You can't have one without the other when you read the scriptures. But as we read on, Paul gets to the heart of God's purposes in allowing us or permitting us to be in the pressure cooker of life and faith. Verse 9. "Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." The reality is that as human beings, the pull towards self-sufficiency in our lives, or the pull towards relying on ourselves instead of relying on God, the pull towards that can be a very powerful pull. And indeed, it is a sinful pull. Anything that takes us away from God's purposes for us is a sinful pull. It's not a part of God's best for us. We want to be strong. We want to be successful. We want to manage. We want to be able to manage. And our culture certainly encourages that way of thinking. You can do it yourself. You can manage self-help, self-improvement. Be successful. Be strong. But that is not the biblical perspective on life and on faith. The biblical perspective shows us instead that as followers of Jesus, all that we're not and all that we might lack by way of strength or capabilities or resources or anything else does not need to be necessarily viewed as a bad thing, but it can actually be used as a good thing in God's purposes. You might say, why and how? Because as Paul says here, it causes us to rely on God in a greater way. Big part of the challenge for Paul amongst the Corinthians church, was that after he'd left the church, other people came into that church, and some of those people who came into the church were known as super apostles. They were known as people who made out that they had it all together. They were strong, they were successful, they were very competent, very capable, and they challenged Paul's credibility because he came with a message of weakness instead of strength. Because he came with a message that was centered on all that we're not and all that God is, and a message that has at the heart of it reliance on God. In the early chapters of 1 Corinthians, we read Paul saying this, and which really gives you a sense of what is at the heart of the message that Paul brought. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of the world, wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards, influential or of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong, the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, and that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. These are again, very profound and yet in a lot of ways countercultural words that Paul is speaking in the culture of the first Corinthian church and still the culture that we live in today. So rather than asking today, what are you strong in? I want to ask, what are you lacking in? What are you lacking in? Because our weakness, or where we lack, or where we might not have, or what we might not be, is that can actually be something that causes us to rely on God in a greater way. And that's at the heart of the Christian faith and life. That's at the heart of the pathway of discipleship, to learn more of what it means to rely on God in a greater way, just as was the case with Paul. Listen to what Paul goes on to say later in the book of 2 Corinthians, where we're reading and following these verses from early in 2 Corinthians, but as we track later into 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 30, Paul says, if I must boast, I will boast of the things that what? That show my weakness. What an incredible statement. Why does he say that? Well, chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. He said to me, that is, God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Can you, like Paul, echo those words? We don't have to have it all together in life or in faith. But in fact, part of our growth as a follower of Jesus is in coming to the place where we recognize in greater ways that we don't have it all together, and instead rely on God and allow God's grace to be at work in our lives where we lack. Allow God's strength to be at work in our lives where we are weak. This is at the heart of the Christian message. And yet it can be so hard for us to allow that to be the case in our journeys of life and faith. We can resist that. The pull of self-sufficiency can be strong. Yet it's so important to come to a place of relying on God over and over and over again. So let me ask again, what are you lacking in today? Whatever that might be, allow God to be at work in you in the midst of that as you learn more of what it means to rely on God rather than yourself. Paul goes on here in the verses that we're basing our thoughts around today. Paul goes on to express why we can be confident and why we can have confidence in relying on God. And in verses 9, second part of verse 9, he says, "This happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." We can rely on God because of the resurrection hope that we have, because God has been able to do over and above what any of us are certainly even able to come anywhere near doing, able to raise the dead. And so we can have complete confidence in God and rely on him completely, knowing that if he can raise the dead, he can be relied on for anything and everything else in our lives. The message of the resurrection hope, and it goes on to say also in verse 10, "He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us." Paul is reminding us that we can have confidence in God and rely on God because of God's track record. God is a God who has brought us through life and faith's greatest pressure cooker times. He's done that in the past. He'll do it in the present, and he'll do it into the future as well. That's what Paul speaks of here. He knew that in his own life and faith experience, and we can too. And then into verse 11, Paul says, "As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favour granted us in answer to the prayers of many." This is the place of prayer Paul is speaking of. Prayer, at its essence, is acknowledging our reliance on God. It's acknowledging that we need to be dependent on God. It's acknowledging that God is someone that we need to look to, and the place of prayer in helping Paul, the prayers of others made a difference in Paul's situation. And the same can be true still today. So what's stretching you? What are you lacking in when it comes to the pressure cooker of life and faith? How might God be at work in the midst of that, in the process of leading you to a place of relying on God rather than yourself in greater ways? We're going to sing in a moment, and then in a few moments after that, Pastor Kat will lead us in a time of communion. That will take us to the place of the cross. The place of the cross is the ultimate place of recognizing all that we're not and all that God is, and of reliance on God. So as we transition to that, I invite you to worship God through song now.